Good evening. Welcome to the Manasquan School District's Board of Education Committee of the Whole meeting for March 13th, 2018. Our call to order opening statement pursuant to NJSA 10:4-10. Notice of this meeting has been provided by publication of the Asbury Park Press, the Co-Star, and posted in the Borough Hall of Manasquan and in the schools within the time limits prescribed by law. Could you please join me for the Pledge of Allegiance? Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Sandy, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mr. Balderman.
Yes.
Mrs. Tassone.
Yes.
Mr. Catani.
Here.
Mrs. De Palma.
Here.
Mr. Fiore. Mr. Hovater.
Yes.
Mr. Loffredo.
Here.
Mrs. McGarry. Mr. Pellegrino.
Here.
Mr. Serino. Mr. Vitale.
Here.
Mr. Warren.
Here.
Christopher Black. Julianne DiGenova. Madison Reinhold. Olivia Easton. We have a quorum.
Thank you. Our mission statement: Manasquan School District empowers all students by providing a safe, healthy, and inclusive environment where continual growth, perseverance, and rigorous academic standards are balanced with extensive extracurricular opportunities and a rich tradition through a partnership with our community. Our statement to the public: oftentimes it may appear to members of our audience the Board of Education takes action with very little comment and in many cases by a unanimous vote. Before matters placed on the agenda at a public meeting, the administration has thoroughly reviewed the matter with the superintendent of schools. If the superintendent of schools is satisfied the matter is ready to be presented to the Board of Education, it is then placed on the agenda at the next committee of the whole meeting. The members of the board work with the administration and the superintendent of schools to assure that they fully understand the matter. After the committee of the whole approves the matter, it's placed on the agenda for action at a public meeting. In rare instances, matters are presented to the Board of Education for discussion at the same meeting that final action may be taken. Since this week is a committee of the whole meeting and we will not be taking action, just so everyone knows, next week we will be asking for an acceptance of the minutes of the February 27th meetings. We will have our student board representative report next week. Brings us to our presentations for this evening, and I will turn it over for the presentations to Dr. Cajun.
Can we go to the podium, please?
Of course.
Tonight, I take great pleasure in starting our board meeting off with a member from the All Shore Intermediate Band. We have with us this evening Donovan Brown, who performed in the All Shore Intermediate Band concert on Tuesday, February 6th, on the bass clarinet. Donovan, could you please stand up so everybody can see you, please? Just picture? Could be on the screen? Pretty good, huh? There we go. Donovan is a fifth grade student and the only Manasquan representative, including all sending districts, in the All Shore Intermediate Band. Donovan received the highest audition score on his instrument, beating out students with much more experience than he. Donovan will perform tonight on the bass clarinet. And what will you be playing for us, Donovan?
Largo and Allegro Vivace.
Could you just say that again?
Largo and Allegro Vivace.
Everybody get that?
It's one of my favorites.
This is awesome. Donovan, I can't thank you enough. The stage is now yours.
Okay. Thank you.
Eric, could you come up, please? I want to just introduce you because he would not be here tonight without your tutelage and your help. This is Eric Clark. He's our music teacher in the elementary school. Right, Donovan? Did he help you? I just want to say thank you publicly to Eric because he always steps up when I need him. I truly appreciate that. And thank you very much. Listen, Donovan, you want to come over and get your certificate? Do we have Wally Bucks as well?
Absolutely.
Congratulations. The Manasquan Board of Education would now like to congratulate our two Geography B winners. We have from the Manasquan Elementary School, Liam Holder from grade 7. Liam, can you come up here? And then we also have our district Geography B winner, Karen Pastelak.
He's here.
Fellows, would you humor me for a minute? Yes?
Just say yes.
If it's okay with your parents, I have two candy bars here. Is that okay?
Sure.
All right. Here's what I would like to do. What I use in my classes is something called Kahoot. And Kahoot is a quiz type of format. But before we start the music, I'm going to ask you and I'm going to come up with some questions for you to answer. You have two candy bars. And the person who's all answers correct, you better candy for it. Actually, they're going to be geography-based questions, but what you need for this, you have to go borrow your parents' cell phone.
I have got devices for you.
Why are you saying with their parents? I want to know if you use your cell phone. Do you have a device for them? Okay, Mr. Place has a device. Can you go see Mr. Place, please, you got a device? Parents, is this okay?
It's amazing.
Right.
This one's for Liam.
Good? Are you all right? Okay. Derek, we good?
Yep.
Now, have you ever used Kahoot before?
Oh. We're going to kick your butt, Dr. K.
Have you used Kahoot before?
Yes.
Just getting the candy bars now.
As soon as it starts, you're ready to go. And whatever score you get, it's wonderful. We're always here. Okay. Right. I was going to play with you, but that's okay. We didn't have another device. Ready? Let's do it. Get six questions. Are you ready? There you go. Oh, that's a big part of the question, I'm sorry.
Texas. It was far north of where it's very cold.
Penguins. Right? I like penguins.
Right. to think about it.
Tonight, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate those students who participated in the oratory symposium. And, did I do something wrong?
No, you're good.
Having said that, we would not be here discussing the oratory symposium without those teachers, part of our wonderful staff, who helped. So could I please have Mrs. Bruschetta and Mrs. Lamorticello come forward, please? thank you. I just wanted everybody to see who you are and say thank you publicly for what you're doing.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Now, who is going to perform for us this evening?
We have a narrator.
So why don't we start with the narrator, which means I can move away from the podium.
Yes.
Dorothy Lufredo, grade 8, will be our narrator. And you can now narrate. I will move to the background.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So the purpose of the Oratory Symposium is to foster memorization, recitation, and public speaking skills. 35 Spanish, Italian, French, language arts, and English language arts learners performed poems, speeches, and classic poems during the symposium. Mrs. Trichetta and Mrs. Lamorticello's students participated in the new program, A Celebration of the Humanities. So we have a few performers tonight. First is Abby Stevens performing Fen en la Chile, written by Salvador Allende. The passionate final speech was delivered by the performer, President of Chile, after being outthrown by brutal military coup. Abby Stevens.
You sure can.
She said, is it on?
Is it on? Let's take a look. Say hello.
Hello.
Nope.
Hello? Hello?
Can you turn it up? It's on.
I can like do it without the mic.
Yeah, no, but let's make him do something. Hello? Better? People say yes for that. Thank you very much. Hello?
You're just yelling louder.
I don't know what it's about. All right.
Is it bad on the mic?
We'll step up.
Trabajadores de mi patria, tengo fe en Chile y su destino. Suplaban otros hombres este momento gris y amargo. En el que la traición pretende imponerse. Sigan ustedes sabiendo que, mucho más temprano que tarde, de nuevo se abrirán los grandes alamedas por donde pase el hombre libre para construir una sociedad mejor. ¡Viva Chile! ¡Viva el pueblo! ¡Viva los trabajadores!
Still I Rise by Maya Angelou. The poem represents strength and determination.
You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I rise. You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with hatefulness, but still, like
she came from Mexico. She'll be performing Trees by Joyce Kilmer. This poem observes the wonders of nature, particularly the beauty and majesty of a tree.
I think that I shall never see a more lovely as a tree, a tree whose hungry mouth is pressed against the earth's sweet flowing breath, a tree that looks at God all day and leaves the living arms to pray, a tree that makes on summer wear a nest of robins in her hair, who pompous bosom is not a slain, who intimately lives with rain. Poets are met by fools like me, but only God can make a tree. Thank you.
Now, each student involved will get a certificate from our board president of appreciation in Wally Bucks, and our narrator will call each student forward. And here you go.
First up, we have Brooke Kaplan.
Is Brooke here tonight? Okay.
Dorothy Lofredo.
Dorothy. Congratulations.
Congratulations. Aiden Mulvihill. Natalie Vukovic. Elizabeth Dayton. Dory Donadeo. Nylan DeLuccio. Madeline Klein. Molly Turnbach. Christina Paricio Sanchez. Andrew Brennan. Ginger Brown. Megan Catani. Kimberly Cruz. Adelaine Cruz Mendoza. Luke Damon, Bianca D'Anton, Edward Dingler, Ava Ducharme. Jake Edwards, Ellen Gallagher, Jessica Hagerman, Ellie Holman. Bridget Heim. David Lisk. Alex Paces. Kieran Pasolak. Grace Price.
Thank you. During this board meeting, the Board of Education congratulates those staff members who've been chosen as Staff Member of the Year and Teacher of the Year. I must have said it a thousand times as I've been here, the quality of our staff is unsurpassed. So for these people to step out in front as examples, models of what our staff should be, is extremely extraordinary. Each person recognized this evening will receive a little memento of tonight, which reads, in this particular case, Teacher of the Year, 2018, Manasquan High School. When a teacher gifts a child with the love of learning, life becomes full of promise and possibility. The person we're recognizing this evening, Mrs. Claire Kozik, does that on a daily basis. As you can see by the credits that appear next to her picture, not only by being someone who's involved with physical education every day and a coordinator at Academy of Health Careers, organizing blood drives, getting potential college credits from Rutgers University awarded to our students, down to actively being engaged with our instructional council on a daily basis, Claire focuses on what's best for our children. Tonight, the Manasquan Board of Education, I'm very proud to say that Claire Kozik has been chosen as Teacher of the Year in the high school for 2018. System for 10 years. She's a language arts teacher, and she's also someone who is with the instructional council and on a monthly basis talks about the things with me that we can do better for the Manasquan children. She's been trained in the Wilson Reading Program, and she served as a special education teacher prior to that, also involved with basic skills. As you can see from her picture, she's always smiling, which shows you how much she loves what she does. Colleen, is there anything else that I'm missing that I should be saying? You know, I took the words right out of my mouth. I really believe she is wonderful. Without further ado, the Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the Manasquan Elementary Teacher of the Year, Kendall Kersack. Staff Members of the Year. What it reads on memento that we'll be giving out this evening is thanking the staff for being such a dedicated and valuable employee. As you can see, Lucianne Spurbo has been involved with the district since 2005. But I just have to give you my impressions of Lucianne. Diligent, determined, always willing to help, and for me, there's never a time when I've seen you when you weren't engaged and you didn't have a smile on your face. You're someone that both of my assistant principals rely on heavily, and I would think my principal does as well, even though he has his own secretary, I understand that, as well as the children. Those are the bottom of my heart. I just want to say thank you for all your dedication, and you truly will be missed. With that, Lucianne.
Everyone, and I've enjoyed my years here at Manasquan, and I will miss everyone. Thank you.
The Manasquan Board of Education would like to congratulate the staff member of the year from the elementary school, Nancy LeBlanc. And you can see that Nancy was actively engaged with the aftercare program in the Warriors Clubhouse, which is not something that is an easy task, Nancy. Even though you don't see me, I do understand the dedication of the employees that are involved there and the hard work that it is before and after school. You truly have to have a love of children be actively engaged in that after such a busy day. Thank you. Thank you for all the years of dedication that you've given to the Manasquan School District, and you will also be truly missed. Thank you for that. Nancy?
Thank you. Thank you.
Slides up there with funerals,
yeah.
Okay.
Do you want to look at those now, or you want to wait?
I would be. Huh? Is that
fun? Yeah. We have the slides of the field, and here is the field with the track. You should be able to see them all. We will be open to any questions. There are four slides that you have in your packet. That's one. The next one is an actual example of a current field with a track around it. And the next one is a slide with the, as you can see, the turf that's going to be used for the track is an actual synthetic surface that is used for track runners. And then we have another one that also depicts that as well. So when we get into our discussion of Board of a Whole, I wanted to make sure you saw these, so if there's any questions about the track, please. That concludes our presentations for this evening, and we're going to take 5 minutes, if we would, to have some cupcakes, okay, as a break.
We're going to reconvene. We are at number 9, which is our Committee of the Whole discussion items for the agenda. I'll turn it over to Dr. Kesia for Education, Curriculum, and Technology for an update on the drop and rotate block schedule parent nights. Dr. Kesia.
Thank you. Just fixing my binder. We had 3 nights scheduled for the discussion with the parents in regards to the proposed drop and rotate block schedule. As of we speak, we've had our junior parents. Tonight was a scheduled sophomore parent night, which we changed to tomorrow night. So on Wednesday, we will.
Thursday.
So the sophomores were tomorrow.
We just rescheduled sophomores to Thursday and freshmen tomorrow.
The sophomores and freshmen are tomorrow, and the sophomores that don't show up tomorrow will be on Thursday. So we have three nights of parent nights, for each grade level. But as I told the parents who are here tonight, if they wanted to come on either Thursday or Wednesday, we would definitely talk to them. On Friday we have a girls' basketball game, so that would be a parent night to discuss the schedule. But having said that, and having confused everybody who's here about when we're going to have these parent nights, I'm going to turn this over to our director of student personnel to talk about her feelings for that night that we had with the juniors.
So, as Dr. Cajun said, we had our first night Thursday night. It was well attended. We probably had between 60 and 70 people come to the night. The format for it was to go over a PowerPoint presentation, which we have posted online. In the PowerPoint, we explained a lot about the curriculum piece of the new schedule, which Barbara talked about. And then I did the portion about what the schedule actually looks like in the unit lunch. Dr. Cajun, of course, did the introduction. From that point, we separated the parents into groups alphabetically. So we had the school counselors that were here and said, you know, because so many of the questions that we were receiving were very specific to the students. So we moved to individual or small groups in different parts of the media center where we were able to facilitate, you know, small group question and answer sessions. With the parents. So overall, I think it went really well. I think that a lot of the questions that parents had were very valid questions, and I think that we were able to really explain a lot of, you know, the reasoning as to why we feel this is a good direction to be moving in. A lot of the questions that they had, we were able to give, you know, very specific answers to. I know some of the concerns that we've heard from the students, you know, were things that we were able to address hands-on and one-on-one. So prior to the meetings, the counselors met with all of the students over a three-day period. We had drop-in sessions in the media center and in two of the classrooms during the lunch/study periods. So the students were able to come and talk to the counselors before that. You know, honestly, most of the questions that we received, you know, were very specific to student schedules specifically, which was good because once I we would sit down with a student, they were able to really come up with, you know, solutions, or they were able to ask questions. But overall, I think it went really well. I think that, you know, it was really important to be able to explain it and to have, you know, a lot of the facts behind, you know, the move rather than just, you know, put it out there and not be able to stand in front of parents and explain a lot of the whys. So
it was a very positive. I think it was a very positive night. People who had valid concerns, I think, walked away feeling a lot better about the move. And we all understood, especially with the juniors, how hard change is. Mm-hmm. And I think they walked away feeling better. And a few that were still concerned, Mrs. Kenny met with those students during the week and worked on schedules with the students who were some rather upset, and they walked out of there saying, well, this is going to work. Okay, this is a good thing. So I think, you know, we're handling it in a way, we're getting the correct information out there, and I think that is really key. Because I believe, as does the rest of the administration, that instructionally this is really the best move for our students.
One question.
Yes.
I heard a lot of feedback from parents that had, pardon me, kids in AP classes, mm-hmm. about doubling up, and that's really the big concern that I've heard about advanced kids needing placement for doubling math or a certain subject, mm-hmm. that they wanted. Is that going to be available? Because I wasn't really clear on what to answer them.
It really, when you say doubling up in math, absolutely. They can take AP calculus or pre-calculus and take statistics. That question came up a lot. They can certainly do both. The question came up of how many AP classes can they take at one time, you know, during that year. That really is going to depend on the student, as it does now.
The doubling up was the thing, and I didn't obviously know how to explain it yet.
Absolutely, they can.
Why do they all feel like they can't right now? Because every parent that talked to me said, well, now my child can't take calculus and something else.
Could you just take one step back and explain what doubling up means for everyone so that everybody's on the same page?
Okay, the doubling up with the semester block would be, they would take one, I'm going to use math because that's where the major concern mm-hmm. seems to be. They could take math, they could take
algebra two
in the fall, and then go to pre-calc in the spring.
Okay,
so that would be doubling up.
So not at the same...
No, it would not be at the same time.
Okay.
What we've done for the math, because I do think that's the major concern, is we mapped it out, and we will be handing this out at the parent meetings, depending on where your child comes in. If they come in Algebra 1, what would the path be? If they came in Algebra 2, or in Geometry, or the Honors track, how they would get to the course that they wanted at the end. Mr. Muir and our math supervisor took a look at the sequencing to make sure that students who might have wanted to double up but feel they can't with this new schedule would still get to where they would want to be at the end, which would be the AP calculus.
So maybe not in the same year, but they'll still get those same
exactly.
classes.
Exactly. What we've
in
done
spread.
Is we've okay. created a new class. Some of the better schools in the state do this also. We saw that Summit, Chatham, the ones that come
Riverdale.
To
excuse me?
Riverdale. What they do is they do an Algebra 2 / trig. That prepares the students to be able to go to either pre-calc, calc, or AP calc.
Okay.
So by doing that, by revising the curriculum and basically building a new course, all the students will be able to get to where they want to.
That was the one big gripe that I was
right.
getting
yeah.
complaints, not
yes,
questions.
We mapped that out for them.
Yeah,
okay.
We have a sequence chart too for really any student when they're coming in. So it explains specifically what, you know, what their
okay.
options are.
And basically by 12th grade, looking at this sequence chart, every student in math who would like to take math in 12th grade can either get to pre-calc, calculus, the AP calculus, either one, and or the statistics. They can do it with statistics, regular statistics and AP. So everyone can get to the advanced classes. Even the student who's coming in at our lowest math level.
Okay.
So
and
we
did
work
you have
that
more
out.
Positive feedback or negative feedback from the first group that you had?
I think we had a lot of positive feedback, and I think we were able to do a lot of clarifying.
Okay.
So, you know, even parents that came in that had very specific questions that they weren't sure of, when they were able to hear, you know, the specific answers, I feel like we were able to, you know, really get some, good information to them that was accurate, because I think a lot of the information, you know, circulated from the students and,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just in general, was not as accurate as we were able to portray it on those nights.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, I think overall, from our perspective, I think, I don't know about everybody else, but I know I, between ShopRite and girls' basketball games, have talked more about scheduling than I've shopped and watched basketball.
Right.
But I think that's all part of any change
right.
that we go through, because people are, but they weren't negative. They were asking questions
mm-hmm.
and apprehensive maybe, but not negative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that people, the one thing that I learned about the schedule in the last few days is that Christian Brothers Academy has the schedule that we're going to, that St. Rose is contemplating or already on their way to going to the schedule
mm-hmm.
that we're going to. And then Mr. Catani had the schedule we're going to in high school. I learned a lot about schedules. So this isn't obviously a new concept, if Mr. Catani had it. But I think that there's not. I don't want to say misinformation, but I think people get confused by what they think the schedule is, and they don't really delve into what it really is and how positive it can be going forward. And I talked to an eighth grader's parent. I said, for you, the schedule is going to be great. Because you don't know any other schedule.
Right, right.
So
absolutely.
I'm sure you're not going to have a problem adjusting to it because you don't have any other schedule to compare it to.
Right.
So, but I just think that it's a credit to you that the parent meetings are an excellent idea and breaking them into small groups and letting them ask every question
yep.
possibly that comes to their mind. Because with the schedule, the people that are here now, especially as you get later on, you get different questions from eighth grade parents
right.
than you do from juniors. Just me walking around. And they are just concerned about their individual child and their schedule for next year. And that's really, as that becomes more seamless, I think the whole transition will be smoother. Right. But I think for the people that are concerned, you're dealing with people and their specific, you know, right, questions, needs, and apprehension. But I think the people I've talked to haven't really been negative as much as apprehensive. I think people realize that you wouldn't be implementing this change if it wasn't a positive thing for students, because that's where, you know, that's where we want to head. So I think, and when you talk about the better schools in the state and schools that are ranked and things like that, it's not about what, I don't think the schedule should be about what we're not doing as far as, you know, phys ed and the other things, the other reasons that we want to be, you know, have them scheduled. I think it should be, this is a better schedule than we had, and this is going to afford us more opportunities going forward. And I think that people are starting to see that as they ask their individual questions. I really do. Because it's gotten from a week ago to today, or 2 weeks ago to today, it's gotten easier.
And it's good that it's a conversation, I think, because, right, I mean, even, you know, and I encourage all of the parents and the students to go talk to the counselor specifically, because they do all have individual concerns. And again, especially, you know, the juniors and the students who have lived through this schedule, we want to make sure that we are aware of what their needs are going to be, so that we can implement however we have to. But I think, like you said, the idea that there's a conversation going on is a good thing, because
right,
it's better to be, you know, to have the information.
Right. I mean, as a board, we want every student to have the same experience,
mm-hmm,
or better,
yeah,
than the students before them had. And I think that's why we're so concerned about the juniors that are here now,
of course,
and that they can transition,
absolutely,
into the new schedule and it not be a setback. And, mm-hmm, and in reality, as you go through the individual schedules, it seems like it's going to be better for them and not,
yeah,
and not worse. So, mm-hmm, kind of look.
I have one more thing. Did you get a lot of feedback about how is everyone going to eat lunch at the same time? Because that is another question that I get asked, and I don't know what the allowance is for maximum capacity for the cafeteria, but a lot of people say, how are 936 kids all going to eat at the same time, and are they going to run out of food and get cold food and
right,
have to
right,
shovel it down before they go back to class? I'm not clear on that.
We'll end the discussion of the schedule with this concept, and we'll focus on it. So I can answer that, because I think that is a major concern, and I think for the logistical piece is something that has to be covered. But in speaking about moving to a schedule, you have to move to a schedule for a reason. And what this schedule offers us that the other schedule did not is simply a sense of continuity, a sense of mastery, and a sense of availability. And when you talk about continuity, you have to talk about sequencing and pacing. This affords the teachers an opportunity and the students to sequence classes through several years, and also allow the teacher to focus on that class and develop pacing that's best for the student instead of a semester. So the year-long class affords us an opportunity to involve in a class structure that's going to afford the child mastery in that subject area, instead of being superficial in regards to this teacher's doing a great job. However, they only have X amount of time to get through this subject area. Now, availability is another thing that's important, which brings us to the unit lunch. 52 minutes of a child having the opportunity to eat lunch and then having a structured setting for that child to go see their teachers on different days for different subject areas, or their coach, or their particular activity. And as I said before, 88% of our student body actively engaged in extracurricular activities is wonderful. I want 100%, because that's the essence of a high school experience. But yet you also want to afford them the opportunity to see the staff that I think is so wonderful. This 52 minutes allows you to do that, which brings you to the question, how are you going to feed 965 students in 52 minutes? By having several areas for them to eat, having more than one hot food line where there'll be three, having more than a cafeteria area prepared for the students to eat where they'll have 16 tables in the cafeteria, they'll have 16 tables in the gym set up for them to eat. There's going to be grab and go stations surrounding the school. Ms. Coates and I have met with the culinary simplified culinary owners, and we've discussed this concept. They've visited schools that do this. They understand the concept, and they told us we can do this and we will do it. But my answer to them, or my statement to them, was I don't want to just do it. I want to do it the best. So when people talk about this schedule, and a lot of schools are going to it, even though it's been around for a long time, they come to us to see how it's done. So we are looking at that concept. How can we service the students to the best of our abilities and do it better than Nutley and Rivendell,
right,
Pascack Valley and Livingston and Chatham and all the places that we've looked at. So yes, we can.
That's an excellent answer, but maybe going forward that could be put on the frequent questions and answers, because everybody asks, how are these kids going to eat? And I didn't even know 2 weeks sitting here listening that there's now going to be three lines and 16 tables and 16 more tables in the gym and grab and go lunch. This is all very pertinent information that parents want to know and kids want to know. Like, they don't want to be standing at the end of the line and get cold food or, sorry, we ran out of your tater tots or whatever.
I don't want their line to be any longer than the line they stand on now.
Right.
And that's my
point. This is great. What you just said to me is great, but nobody knows this except right now.
Because when it's not ready to be told yet. I have to work out all the logistics, so when I say it, I definitely know that's what's happening.
Okay.
And we had our first meeting this week. We're going to have another meeting next week. And also, it's a budgetary item that we have to fund with them. Mm-hmm. But students are important to us, and we'll make sure that they have a great experience at lunch. So it is what I want it to be.
Excellent. Thank you. That's a good answer.
I'm looking at committee of the whole. We have a finance update.
Yes. Our board budget committee has met three times over the last 2 weeks regarding the tentative budget for next school year. We're currently waiting for our state aid allocation notices, which we will receive in the next day or two. The full board will receive a budget package by email no later than this Friday. More than likely, it will come out with your Friday packet. Please review the information and let us know if you have any questions. In addition, we'll be hosting a meeting with the budget committee, the sending district board representatives, Dr. Cajun, and myself, a week from this evening, right before the board meeting at 4:45, to review the tentative budget. The invitation for that meeting just went out this afternoon. Once the tentative budget is adopted, and if you notice it is on the COW agenda, the dollars will be filled in by the end of the week, so you'll be able to view them when you view the budget information that you receive on Friday. So once the tentative budget is adopted, it gets submitted to the County Office of Education for their review. After they've had an opportunity to review the budget, we then hold a public hearing where the facts and the figures of the budget are discussed at the public meeting, which is scheduled for April 24th, our regular April board meeting. That will be at 6 p.m. Are there any questions about the budget process? Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think that there's no field. Superintendent's report this week.
But any questions on the field, the pictures I showed you before?
Buildings.
And we have a new rendition of that with the track around it.
Mm-hmm. With the track, I just, because I know this question will come up, it's named in the thing recreational track. Are we able to do a meet, or is this just practice?
Practice.
It's for practice, but the surface itself is a surface that you can run on. I don't believe that only having, I think it's three lanes on there that they showed. Okay. You would need more than that to have a dual meet. So, but what I would like to see is, I think it's big enough for an elementary meet. It would be neat if we could have the sending districts here and have a track meet with the sending districts on our track, you know, in the near future, if we build it. But in regards to our high school meet, I don't believe, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
But it will allow where the track around the football field or the all-purpose field currently allows for the sprints and the two turns, this will allow the distance runners to practice without having to run, you know, in the street. I mean, a lot of them don't like to run around in circles when they're practicing, but it will give them the opportunity to practice, you know, here as on a surface similar to what they'll be running on, as opposed to going out and running, you know, around town and back. And same thing for the cross country team, you know, year round.
I have a question. So is this whole field is going to be in our budget? Are we putting this in our budget?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's it, I believe. Any questions about any other topics that we have? Good, good. That's the end of the committee of all.
That brings us to number 11, which is our first public forum on agenda items. Time may be allocated for public comment at this meeting. Each speaker may be allotted a limited time or recognized by the presiding officer. In the event it appears the public comment portion of this meeting may exceed 45 minutes, the presiding officer may limit each statement made by a participant to 3 to 5 minutes in duration. Individuals wishing to address the board shall be recognized by the presiding officer, shall give their names, addresses, and the group, if any, that they represent. Although the board encourages public participation, it reserves the right through its presiding officer to terminate remarks to and or by an individual not keeping with the conduct of a proper and efficient meeting. During the public participation portions of this meeting, the board will not respond to questions from the public involving employment, appointment, termination of employment, negotiations, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance of, promotion or disciplining of, any specific or prospective or current employee. This public forum is limited to comment on items in this agenda only, please. Would anyone from the public like to be heard? Go ahead. You have to come up there and shout your name and your address.
We don't know who you are, so can you tell us?
Christy Rice, 26 Fletcher Ave. I was just wondering if the track for recreation purposes is going to be open to community, or is it going to be, you know, behind the fence, under lock and key on weekends? And, you know, like when it's not in use for school use.
Right. I think the short answer is we're not sure yet. Because this is new. The track concept around the lower field is about 2 weeks old.
Okay.
So we haven't gotten to that point. I think that the board's goal has always been to allow more use of the facility by the Squam Recreation. So I think the answer to that would be yes. Are we going to leave the gates open for the public to come and go onto the field? I don't think so, to be honest. Because it brings a lot of other problems into that.
There's probably no opportunity for people in town to use it if it's not going to, you know, if they're not going to have access.
Well, the children will be able to use it. We're just going to leave it open.
I know. I was speaking for adults in the community.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
want to walk, you know, on a safe.
Yeah, it's not
flat surface.
Sure. Yeah, it's something that we haven't talked about yet, but there'd be some complications to that. But yeah, it's not impossible.
I thought there was even a track going out there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris. Seeing no one else, for our discussion purposes, Manasquan's general items, numbers 12 through 19. Does anyone have any questions about 12 through 19? Take your time. While you're thinking about that, Manasquan Sending Districts, items 20 through 31. Anybody have any questions on any of the items on the agenda? Well, if you do, you have one more chance. Old and new business. Does anyone have any old or new business that they would like to discuss? Yes, Mr. Palmer.
I'm going to go back to the doors and locks.
Of course.
Okay. Which it was, I went back in my notes and it wasn't part of a rod grant.
Which was it?
The doors and locks. From years ago. So my question is, are we going to be able to, in this budget, do that? The doors and locks that we had previously wanted to do and put money aside for?
I don't have an answer to that because I don't know which doors and locks.
Yeah, regarding the doors.
It was from like way back. Mm-hmm. We had put money aside and we approved doors and locks.
That was actually before we.
Yeah, but it wasn't part of ROD. I know last week you thought it was part of the ROD.
I thought it was a ROD grant.
No, it wasn't. I did look back. Yeah, it wasn't. That's why I'm asking if it's going to get done.
With regards to the doors and locks that I think you're referring to, mm-hmm. we were able to fix some without going to that particular document. And this particular referendum is going to fix
the rest.
Others. Uh-huh. What we won't fix, but we will eventually, are in the center hallway. Mm. What's the name of the locks that we're going to use, Lynn? Schlage. Using Schlage locks in the new addition, and they're the same locks that are in the old new addition, if you know what I'm talking about, 500 wing.
Mm-hmm.
And the locks in the center hall have been fixed where the doors lock, but they haven't been changed.
Oh, okay. So once
we have two out of three done, mm-hmm. and we have to fix the third,
right.
My focus was going to be not in this budget, But in the next budget year, looking at fixing those locks by putting those in the budget.
There's no way to do it this year. Can we take something out of the field so that we can fix these locks? I mean, I think it's important that we fix all the locks.
I think it's a big number, but the locks work.
They all lock.
Everything locks. Yep. Mm-hmm.
So when we have a lockdown, everything?
Everything locks.
Okay.
So every single thing, that's what I was going to ask. If there's a lockdown, we're not going to fail for something not closing now, not being able to be secured. Every single solitary thing required for a lockdown is working properly. I know you said not replace, but I want to understand in my head, if we have a lockdown, and God forbid it's something real, every lock is locking, correct?
I'm not even hesitating. I'm saying correct.
Correct.
In this particular atmosphere that we have,
right.
Not
that's
only
why
will
I'm asking.
Every lock will lock, exactly. But we'll also have outfitted every door for a shade so the teacher can pull it down and feel more secure.
Okay.
We had Matt do that, and we also, don't forget, we put the film up on certain windows around
right.
the school, the
3M
right. film. We did
right.
that 2 years ago.
Okay.
Right. That part's fine, just I was
yeah.
concerned about the locks.
The locking,
with
yeah,
the
that's why I asked.
Lockdown that if we cannot
every,
lock
every lock will work.
Will or does?
Or they do
I, I'm saying it does, but I'm saying it will so, because I know this is going on a microphone and I want to make sure I protect myself. So if you say to me, you call me and say, Frank, room 101, lock didn't work. I'm going to say it's user error, but I have got no complaints as of we speak about a lock not working because I did address this in the beginning of the year,
yeah.
even before Florida occurred.
And wouldn't that come from the lockdown drills that we currently have if a door doesn't lock?
Yeah.
Shouldn't somebody tell you that it's not
yeah.
locking?
And they have.
Oh, all right. So our lockdown drills, we've always passed.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've never had locks that don't lock.
We had the...
we had the county here and...
The county was here and they checked...
Assemblymen and congressmen.
They were all here, yeah. The county superintendent. They gave me pages of things that we had to fix.
Mm-hmm.
We fixed it.
All right. Local,
but
and our local police know about it.
Both schools. Yeah, and the local police have that list as well. And when we met right after Florida,
mm-hmm.
They even said to us, well, you fixed all the things that are on
with
here.
The local police?
Yeah.
Okay.
The chief was in, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank
great
you.
Question. Good.
Can I ask another question?
Not yet, but you can soon. Anybody else have any old or new business that they would like to discuss? That brings us to our second public forum on any items, agenda, or otherwise. Would anyone from the public like to be heard at the microphone? It is. I thought it'd be bigger.
Chrissy Rice, 26 Fletcher Ave. I want to go off of Linda's question. There's these devices that they talk about that go into door jams. Has the school considered buying those? In the event of a lockdown, I'm not really sure what they are. It's just like a little like lock and block where it slides into the door jamb and locks the door from the inside of the classroom without a key.
Are you talking about the one that goes under the
well,
door and slides out?
They make them all different ways.
I saw one on the news
the other night that goes under and slides out.
I was just wondering if that has been looked at.
Yeah, we've talked about that. And there are so many products out there like that. And I would need one that made me feel comfortable only because of what transpired in Connecticut when they had that shooting. And the situation is you don't want to put a teacher in a position where they have to push the door open to pull that out.
Mm-hmm.
You want to have the door closed and pull it quickly so it locks. So I know exactly what you're talking about. Am I willing to look at that? Yes. Any way we can make it more safe and secure.
I know it just came up over in the, I also work at the elementary school. I know it came up in the elementary school that our doors, our kids are continually leaving in and out of classrooms all day long, going to different areas in the school, different specials, not like over here where they're in a classroom, for
I know exactly
minutes.
The same because I've met with Colleen several times about
this. So maybe something a little easier so a teacher, and I mean, I don't even have a kid, because I'm not in a classroom that has a door, but something easier to
I agree
the
with
teachers.
That. Yeah.
Secure
so you can keep the door locked.
Yes.
And therefore, if there is a crisis or someone calls for lockdown, it's just a matter of pulling that out and it closing, as long as you don't have to open the door to pull it out. That's my only prerequisite.
I was just curious.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to be heard from the public? Seeing no one, Number 34, executive session. Whereas the Senator Byron M. Baer, Open Public Meeting Act, NJSA 10:4-6, the Act provides the Massachusetts Board of Education hold an executive session from which the public is excluded to discuss matters that are confidential or one of the nine subject matters listed in Section 12B of the Act, and whereas it is recommended by the Superintendent that the Massachusetts Board of Education go into executive session on this date in Massachusetts, New Jersey, to discuss matters that are permissible for discussion in executive session. And whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 30 minutes, after which the public portion of the meeting shall be convened and proceed with business. And whereas the board hereby declares that discussion of the following subjects will be made public at a time when the public's interest in disclosure is greater than any privacy or governmental interest being protected from disclosure. Now, therefore, be it resolved, the Massachusetts Board of Education, that the board shall go into executive session to discuss the following items. Number one, confidential matters per statute or court order, which involves a student matter. Number four, collective bargaining, which will be an update on the MEA negotiations. And number eight, personnel matters, which involve hirings, resignations, and leaves of absence. Items discussed in executive session will result in board action when the board reconvenes a public session, but I don't believe that is the case tonight, right?
No.
So there will be no public action after the meeting, after executive session. Do we have a motion to go into executive session? Mr. Hoveter, second. Mr. Warren, all those in favor, say aye. Nobody can say that. Mr. Catani, all those in favor, anybody on the stairs, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it.
Bang the gavel, or are we done?
We're done. Okay. You said I heard you from the stairs.
We're done. Tom said we're done.
I think I can guess, was it interviewing?
Thanks again for your help, Jesse.